Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, however you've decided to spend the hour with us. We're very, very glad to have you. Tonight is going to be a little bit steamy, a little sexy, a little saucy, and I think it's interesting because we're going to be doing a show about just the fact that we're all voyeurs, whether you're watching reality TV and watching Real Housewives of Vancouver, or whether you're listening to their neighbors having sex or watching amateur porn. It's all voyeurism, voyeurism, voyeurism. And I've got a really special co-host with me tonight. I've got the lovely Monica Hamburg, who is, you may have heard her podcasts on Dazed and Convicted, which comes out usually on Mondays, except for since this is Easter Monday and it is a long weekend, it won't be this weekend coming up. But after that, you'll be able to listen, hear, and see your thoughts, which I'm very excited to have the lovely Monica on our show today. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Caroline.
And it would help if I'm looking forward to having you on the show. So
thank you very much, Caroline.
That's better.
Should I also talk like that? In that special way?
In that special way sounds very, very, very appealing.
It'll be a show just like this, where we talk about voyeurism.
Voyeurism. And I like the voice very, very, very much.
Thank you.
But on that note, what do you think about this whole world where, in terms of we share what we're doing, sometimes people even share what they're eating on Facebook, on maybe not such a sexy level, but sharing things on Twitter. We share. We're almost like an open, it's almost literally like what Shakespeare suggested the world is a stage or whatever years ago. And I'm paraphrasing because
But yeah, no, I don't know. I feel mixed, obviously, right?
Okay.
People think I'm fairly public online, and to some extent I am. And of course, I still have the things that I wouldn't talk about online. And one of the things I wouldn't talk about is what I'm eating, unless there's a very good reason. My Twitter bio says something like, I won't be talking about things I've eaten unless I've been hospitalized for food poisoning. Because I think that's when people need to know where I ate and what I ate. Because they don't have to go there again to have chili because they might end up in the hospital. I think that's a reasonable reason to tell somebody. Otherwise, I'm not quite sure why you'd care what someone's eating. But again, you know, I say that and I know there's tons of people that have a good audience that do talk about where they ate and what they ate. So I try to talk about things that I think are amusing.
Tell me about some of those things that you find amusing.
Well, I'm evil, so there's lots of things I find amusing that probably other people wouldn't. So I'm wondering if I should alienate your audience right away. I'll give it a shot. I'll find things on sites. I'll sort of fall down the rabbit hole because I work at home on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll see things. There was a strange thing where there was this girl who had died, and she was like, I think 9 or 10 years old. And then some people were posting, I guess, on her wall of things, you know, this is terrible, this happened and whatever, I hope you go to heaven, whatever, all those things, which I guess are reasonable. But then there was someone that wrote, I hope this doesn't make you give up on your dreams. And I'm like, when you're dead, I think that's the time where maybe you shouldn't be trying to climb the corporate ladder. I think that's when you can give up and just relax. And so I thought that was just, I don't know, I found that really amusing. And that's probably the kind of stuff I find amusing, even though it's horrible. I find, yes, I talk about crime on my podcast, so I don't find crime funny, but I find a way, try to make it funny. And then I find things that happen on transit amusing, and strange things I find on the internet, and sometimes sex. I find sex pretty amusing because it's kind of ridiculous and wonderful.
Sex, even though it's supposed to be a beautiful, positive thing, and I'm all about positive sexuality, but sometimes there are some interesting things. I know the best of Craigslist, for example, and sometimes you do share things which always crack me up, and I know I'm out for a smile, even though I try not to smile, but I can't help it.
I always find that it's funny. I think the best part of Craigslist is that it seems to be guys just posting as if it's a lottery, you know? Maybe someone will blow you if you put an ad up that at 3 p.m. you're available to be blown. Like, as if that there are women on the other end going, oh, God, I hope I can blow an anonymous stranger today at 3. Is there someone who's off work and married? Oh, that sounds good. Like, it just seems so odd to me when I see that. But, yeah. But the other thing you and I both have in common, especially, is we both think that male and female genitalia are kind of ridiculous looking. Like, I know that some people are like, oh, they're both beautiful, these wonderful works of art. And I'm like, no, they look stupid. But for some reason, we're primed to do it anyway, no matter how ridiculous these things look.
I think it's there's so many different types. Like, there's a really great book called Petals, but they're photographed really beautifully.
Yes.
So with that, where Nick Karras, which we had on the show, and it was it kind of blew me away. And to be honest, it kind of scared me, where I wouldn't know where to start if I was a man or if I was a lesbian.
Oh, absolutely not.
Because each one was so unique and so different. So for that, it was like, whoa, I don't know.
Yeah, I would feel very uncomfortable if I was a lesbian I'd feel less uncomfortable, I imagine, as a lesbian, because you'd just know it was complicated. But I think for guys, it's just like, yeah, I mean, there's times where, you know, my boyfriend has said, you know, well, would that feel good, right? And it's like, hold on, I got to check. You know, like, you know, it's, well, you know, to the left on the right-hand corner, that special spot there. Like, it's pretty ridiculous, and it's all unique. Whereas I know that guys are unique to some extent, but there are certain things where it will work for most guys, right? Mm-hmm. Certain placements. And I think we are woefully complicated. It's too bad.
It is. There is some good stuff out there. Like, Sherry Winston's got a wonderful book about the and where it's actually got maps as to where she's a nurse. So, in terms of just kind of the exact right spots, which is
pretty neat. Oh,
really?
But they're
neat.
All, like, for everyone?
Just because she used to be a nurse. She's actually won some awards for best sexuality books as well. Mm. So that kind of stuff is super cool. But there that is cool. with... In terms of myself personally, I think it can be challenging sometimes. So
yeah, it can be, yeah.
And just see a little over there. No, right there. That's it. Just stay there.
Just
stay there. Don't move. No. Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So crazy. So yeah, I know we've gotten a bit off the topic.
Not really. It's voyeurism, and so people are listening to us right now.
Oh, and they're being voyeurs. Okay, so it kind of works on that level, too.
On an audio level as well.
Wow, we're really complex.
But it is. It's really, I think, changed the way we relate to people in general, both for our sexuality as well as just basic communication.
Yeah.
It shifted, even if we look at the last 5 years, because things have shifted enormously since...
social media got popular. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you want to share in regards to that? Because you've also done a lot of work in terms of strategy with social media as well.
What would you like to share?
Just in terms of how it shifted in terms of communication in general, where I think people are meeting in different ways. Like, whereas a long time ago, people would meet because, for example, you'd say, hey, I've got this friend and I think you'd get along. So we perhaps would meet that way or through work. Mm-hmm. But usually through things, but now through online dating, through even with Twitter and Facebook, I've met people.
Me too.
Which has been really neat. Usually it's for business, but there has been the odd time where things have been flirty, and which is always an interesting thing too.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Kind of fun too. Well, we have a mutual friend who met his girlfriend because they had a mutual friend in common, and they were both commenting on the same thread for a while on Facebook, and I think they did that a few times, and then the guy was like, hey, you want to meet sometime? Because they just thought that each other were interesting in the things that they would say, and actually they're married and have kids now, so that worked out really well for them. But mm-hmm. I thought that was wild. I'm like, oh, you met through Facebook, through the comments. And I know that I met a lot of people online. You're actually one of the rare people I think I didn't meet online that I met recently. Well, I guess you and I met like almost, wow. Long time.
It's
ago.
Been
almost
a long time.
Almost 10 years. Okay. So, but yeah, but a lot of my friendships have been people I've met online or through groups that have been offline but started online. Mm-hmm. Obviously, meetup.com, things like that. I think online can be really. I mean, I'm obviously like a big proponent of online communication, and I think it's been amazing to meet people based on similar interests. I think it's amazing to meet people where you've had sort of an icebreaker of someone, I find that sometimes I'll meet people and they'll know a little bit about me, which is both wonderful and uncomfortable at the same time, but have followed me on Twitter or something. Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, man, so it sounds like you had a really bad bout of insomnia the other week. I'm like, okay, this is maybe, now I feel like I'm a weirdo. But yeah, so it's kind of, I think it's wonderful though. I mean, I think it's completely exciting and great, and I know that there are complications, but I definitely think overall that it's a really good way of communicating. But there's strange things too. I had a friend of mine and his mom died, and he didn't post it on Facebook because he didn't. It was just not, that's not the way he communicated. Yeah. Also a generational thing. And he had these people that actually got really pissed off at him. They were like, how dare you not tell us that your mom died on Facebook like everybody else does? He's like, because it's not a tweet or a status update.
No, it's sometimes it can be a very personal thing. Right. And I guess that's the question, where it's that entitlement. As voyeurs, where does that line, you know, how much do we need to share with our audience? Because I think, you know, you shouldn't put anything up that you don't want to share. So your friend, especially with grief and in terms of situations, should be respected however he wants to grieve. So exactly. Whether if he doesn't want to share it on Facebook, regardless whether it's in, you know, whatever generation he's from, just being able to honor that. And it's sad that people flipped out about that.
It is strange. And I mean, vice versa too, right? Sometimes when someone will post something like their child dies or something, and that's the way that they, one, can communicate with everybody at the same time, so they're not constantly reliving that aspect of it, and that they can reach out to people, right? I've noticed a lot of times someone will say something really horrible that happened to them in a way of just getting support. And then you'll see, very rarely, but it'll happen that someone will chastise, well, that's private. You should be keeping that private. Well, that's their decision to make. Yes. I guess it's your level of what you feel comfortable, and no one else should dictate that for you.
That's true. In terms of sexuality, that's in terms of where we are open, we are sex positive. I'd like to think of us as a sex positive society, or at least we're moving towards that.
I hope so.
There's still some shifts that do need to happen, of course. But how do you see online playing into that in terms of just the evolution in the last 5 years or so?
How do I see it playing on in terms of making us more positive, sex positive? I think because the more that we're honest and the more that we are public about who we are, the less there's a stigma to hide. So if you're able to say, well, this is a fantasy that's, you know, I have, or I swing, or I'm gay, or whatever, then you're able to put that out there. Then there's less, if we all do that.
Yeah,
right?
if we all do it,
then the other voices will be drowned out a little bit and feel a bit more comfortable. But I think being honest and public about who you are to some extent is very liberating. I've found it to be really liberating, because I know that, I'm sure to some extent, I sort of hid who I was for a while of my life, you know, at least aspects of it, because I'd work in corporate environments or in other respects. And I think it's just nice to be yourself. So I think to some extent, online helps you do that. It also helps you sometimes put on a show as well, but you know, that's sort of part of doing things that make you a personality, or trying to be a personality, right? I'm sure you have that same thing, you know, to some extent.
Sometimes. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about voyeurism, and as well as that, we might get into the deep and dirty. So you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
I will say B, Peru.
I'll do it.
And that's your final answer?
Yes.
You could buy a new car. You just want
$33,055.78.
To everyone who donated to this year's fund drive, CITR would like to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who helped us meet and exceed our goal of $30,000. Your generous donations help us support local artists, businesses, and marginalized voices in the community. Here's to another 75 years of campus and community radio.
And we We're back in Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, I've got the sexy, lovely Monica Hamburg in my studio right now. And I feel like, for whatever reason, I want to put on a British accent. And I'm not quite sure why.
Oh, it's because we're so dignified. I feel it's a pull. We're so classy. Let's be British now.
Well, I suppose, but we are 100% Canadian content on this show. And I suppose in terms of the spoken word, we are also femcom in content in terms of that, since you're female, I'm female, even though we're talking about sexuality and some interesting things as well. So one of the things in our chat during the break we were chatting about was the fact that it's interesting what people name things sometimes. So whether or not it is a post where they're looking for somebody, so a, you know, male seeking female, female seeking, you know, male, female, whatever it is. But it's interesting where sometimes they come up with some rather unusual vocabulary. So did you want to share an example, Ms. Monica?
Sure. I watch porn a lot. I like porn. I find it very stimulating, as it's supposed to be. And so there's this one site that I go to often because people upload, they basically steal clips from other sites, right? So it's terrible and it's illegal and I disapprove completely, except when I'm masturbating. But they upload these clips that don't belong to them, and instead of putting the title of the clip, whether it's, you know, Ass Fuckers 38 or whatever, they upload it with their own name, whatever, not their personal name, but whatever name they think is most appropriate to the clip. And sometimes it's what's happening in the clip, and sometimes you're like, I have no fucking idea. So this one is, I will make you dinner, you let me fuck you. It's apparently.
Really?
Yeah. This one has to be decoded. Blonde chick watches mansion, fucks in master.
Bedroom? Can you say that one more time?
Sure, but we'll figure it out eventually. Blonde chick watches mansion, fucks in master. There's a lot.
That leaves such stuff to the imagination.
Doesn't
wow.
It? Doesn't it? I mean, in one way, I'm feeling like there's a bit of a Rocky Horror Picture theme to
very
it.
Much so. I'm going a la 70s, and if I could have that music playing the boom chicka chicka to boom chicka chicka in the background, I would, but wow.
This one's, then there's things that you just don't understand how they thought this was erotic, to put it this way. Bored Canadian lesbian teens. Bored. Yeah, and Canadian. Which doesn't always have this is a wonderful Canadian content podcast. I don't know if people think hot and think Canadian at the same time. They think polite.
So you maybe don't think bored. People think of Canadians as sexy?
I don't think it's something that immediately comes to mind. I certainly think we are. Mm-hmm. And I think when I talk to a lot of people from the U.S., they seem to think that we're a little bit more open sometimes. But I don't think that it's not like Swedes, where you would immediately associate sex. So when you say, like if you say a bored Swede, you could still imagine they might be sexy even when they're bored. A bored Canadian, that doesn't seem like it's going to be just like groundbreaking sex. That's not my guess.
I'd be curious in terms of that clip, where it was in the world that took place. Because perhaps in other parts of the world, we are considered sexy.
Right. And maybe it was like there was in Iceland, and these are just the group of, you know, Canadian expedition people, and they were having sex. Maybe. This is one of my favorites. Erotic Tara White. Okay, so we're good so far. I guess she's a porn star. Erotic Tara White squirts. Ocean View. So in case you weren't into the squirting or the porn star, there's an ocean view.
I was visioning just so much fluid it created a ocean, which I'm not sure if that's what they were going for or not.
I don't think it was. Okay. This is a new technique of painting, maybe. Paint an ocean with your ejaculate. Okay, sure. But yeah, so it's things like that. I don't know if you want me to continue, but I always find those naming sequences kind of fun.
So I guess the question is, if somebody was naming, what are some things that perhaps they might want to think about?
Like if they were thinking,
yes,
sexy.
If this is a 101, this is the Monica version in terms of what you'd want to tell them if you could sell. Because right now we are we're broadcasting, we are going to be podcasting. So you can share whatever you want to say to these people and just say, look.
Name your clips better. Okay, this is an educational segment
yes,
of your podcast.
That's okay. Here, the educational segment.
Describe what's in the podcast. Like, I do really like watching clips of people having anal sex. So, you know, when it says Sandra having sex anally, I'm like, okay, that's a clip that might work for me. But then there's times where it's just like, I saw Sheila. I'm like, I don't know what that clip involves. So be specific. Describe what is happening in the clip. Be succinct. And yes, upload a clip of more than 2 minutes. That's another thing. Another pet peeve of mine is when they upload clips that almost get into the action. Maybe they're trying to promote a site and bring you back to it. But I like longer clips where I have the option of what position they're going to be in because I have enough clips to choose from. So thank you, porn people, for helping me out in my search for good porn.
Huh? What makes good porn?
Oh, that's so personal. That's so personal. And it depends what you're into and the kind of people you're into and the fantasies you're into. I mean, I don't want to be the negative person. I'm like, I know what doesn't work for me. I hate how many, and I kind of know why this is, I hate how many scenes have men that aren't vocal. Where the woman's really vocal, which is nice. I like knowing that she's turned on, and sometimes she really is. But the guys are almost completely silent.
Hmm.
And I'm like, I need to hear that they're enjoying it. That's part of the fantasy. So I wish that they were more vocal, you know, and that they said more things and that they grunted more. And I think that's a hot thing. So that, to me, makes porn hot, but I'm sure there are women that don't like that. What else makes porn hot? Yeah, the guy seeming like he's into the woman. That's a big one. Sometimes it seems mechanical.
So it's almost like they're there for the job. It's
exactly.
Like, yes, I'm here for the paycheck.
Right, and they're apparently, and this is something I learned, is that some people are really good at this naturally, but some guys actually use, like, numbing things on their penis to be able to last longer, right? Because they can't ejaculate. They can't just have good sex, so they have to keep it going longer, and that means they're kind of numb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not as sexy. So, yeah, so the mechanical thing is not really necessarily a fault of anyone except the industry that, you know, wants to do this economically, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. What makes good porn? I'm going to interview you. What makes good porn for you?
I think in terms of porn, I'm going to just basically quote Sherry Winston because I think it's important, which is in terms of pornography that it is entertainment, not education.
Yeah.
Because that's, I think, one of the things that freaks me out a lot. And speaking of Sweden, as sexy as they are, they've actually put a lot of money into their sex ed in the school systems.
That's great.
To really focus on that pornography shouldn't be exploitive.
Mm-hmm.
It should be, if you are going to watch pornography, that it is not education. And so don't try and do some of the stuff that you see.
Yeah, that's a smart thing, because I think people get...
Mm-hmm.
People think anal sex takes 2 seconds. Like, you know, like there's... I mean, because you don't see a lot of warm-up with a lot of these things. And then, of course, when you do things or you read about things, you realize, well, there's lots of things that go into... Not the area, but lots of things that go into the actual process. And you wouldn't know that watching porn.
No, and that's one of the things that does scare me, because I think especially with a lot of our youth, it's usually the first time they see anything is these days is pornography, usually on the internet. And porn addiction has grown increased a lot. But with that said, if it's something you see, you kind of like it, it's good to get some ideas, but go and get the education. So whether or not it's taking some workshops at the Art of Loving, if you're a little bit uncomfortable or shy about going to a workshop, seeing if there's an online class that you can see.
A legitimate one.
Yeah. And there's some great, I believe it's Nina Hagen, who's got some wonderful, wonderful videos where it is a step-by-step guide as to the how-tos. And if you feel comfortable enough, there's also at Women's Wear as well, where they've got some wonderful things, really high quality products as well, if you are purchasing anything, and giving yourself an opportunity to just have those conversations where, for them, they don't do classes, but they do one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
So then that way, just finding out a bit more, and perhaps what I'd recommend with that is going in with your partner. And if it's something you want to try, sometimes that can be a really great foreplay as well, where it's like, say, I want to try anal sex or whatever it is that you're interested in trying. And then just looking around and seeing what there is. So not starting with, like, you know, the, you know, 5-inch around dildo, like starting with something a little bit smaller, something a little bit gentler, perhaps a butt plug or something like that to start with, and getting that education from one of their staff that can help out with that, or some of the experts out there, because there are some good people who do teach in Vancouver.
Definitely.
Yeah, so just with that.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
That's a really good point, because it's true. It's wonderful to have those fantasies, and I think fantasies are fantastic, whether you choose to ever enact them or not. But you're right. There's a huge difference between, and it is. Pornography is fantasy. That's all it is, right? And if you look at it that way, that's wonderful. But you're right. It's not an instructional, unless it is specifically an instructional. And yeah, most of the time when you have sex, you don't have sex for an hour and do 5 different positions, all in the same order, all the time.
I think a lot of people would be really disappointed if they thought that was the reality.
Right, and they're just not having it.
And it's the, what's wrong with me? Why isn't that happening to me?
Sure.
And just the whole syndrome with that as well. There was a study that came out where there were women in terms of self-esteem who didn't want to have sex because their bodies didn't measure up to Jenna Jameson.
But
it was interesting. It was at one of the universities in the States.
But I mean, pornography is like not the only thing doing that. I mean, that is like we're saturated with almost pornographic images all the time of women. So it's very easy. I mean, even in women's magazines, for it to just be completely, make you completely self-conscious. Yes.
Yeah.
She's indicating, so I'm like, what are we doing here?
No, I agree. Just in terms of our education, how we view ourselves as well. Just in terms of a lot of the things that we do get thrown at us by our media. I know the YWCA is doing a lot of education, especially with young girls, because of self-esteem, body image. I'm hoping at some point there'll be more work in terms of with men as well.
Oh, definitely. No, there's lots of things we need to work on gender-wise, et cetera.
I think we had a little bit of dead air there. Sorry about that. But we're going to just take a really quick short break. When we come back, you're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you want, you can call us as well at 604-822-2487 and just tell us your thoughts about pornography and what type of fantasies you have if you want to share.
Sorry, I didn't know if I was supposed to keep talking.
April 5th at the Electric Owl, it's Daedalus, LA-based electronic producer on tour to support his latest release, Bespoke, with special guests Too Fresh, Ryan Hemsworth, and Samo Soundboy. Tickets available at Red Cat, Zulu, High Life, and Beat Street Records. Sponsored by CITR.
LiveBand.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. LiveBand.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveBand.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
The other man.
Whoa, the other man. We've got some interesting things going on in the studio right now. You may hear another voice in the studio right now. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And we've got the lovely, the sexy Monica Hamburg. We've also got a man in the studio now, the lovely Dean McKeith, which is a very wonderful, sexy welcome to the studio, having a man in joining in this conversation. So we've been discussing about fantasies and pornography and in terms of voyeurism.
What did I walk into?
We thought you were listening and knew what you were. Now you're trapped.
Of course I was listening. No.
Now you're trapped, sir.
Yeah. stuck.
What is your ultimate fantasy?
Well, I don't know. For starters, I'm stuck with Monica, so you know, that's pretty good.
Thank goodness.
That's not a half bad deal.
Okay, in regards to pornography, what type of fantasies are there out there, would you say is a fairly standard one in pornography? From a man's perspective.
Well, I think fairly standard would be like the typical guy wants like two girls.
Oh.
Sorry, the typical guy wants two girls. Yeah.
Any thoughts, Mon?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty popular one. Blowjobs. Those seem to be a big... there's not a porn that doesn't start with the girl giving the guy a blowjob.
Except for girl on girl masturbatory fantasies as well.
I just meant, sorry, I meant when there's actually a man in the picture.
That is true. So I wonder if there would be some special ones for muff diving and veggie burger day. If there would be ones that start off with with oral sex. Our mayor, actually, Gregor Robertson, actually announced that on 99.3 The Fox last year, that what was classified as Steak and Blowjob Day, which is...
Steak and Beach,
That's right, is actually, in his household, it is actually Muff Diving and Veggie Burger Day.
Wow, our mayor is super good looking, too. Like, I mean, I don't know how many listeners you have from outside of Vancouver, but he's ridiculously attractive. It's kind of uncomfortable.
Actually, I'm slightly uncomfortable now.
Sorry.
Because I think I'm better looking than he is.
Well, you're a very good looking guy, but he happens to be ridiculously attractive in that kind of Superman Clark Kent kind of way.
He does have the, you're right. I'm slightly attracted to him myself.
See?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, so, yeah. Gregor, if you're listening to that, we'd love to hear.
That's right. Gregor, you actually know him.
If you're reelected, this is the place to come.
That has a multitude of many meanings. So.
You know what? Gregor. Girls took it there. I didn't.
We're so stereotypical because everyone has a crush on Gregor. It's too funny.
This is making a very Van City type of show tonight.
Okay, perfect.
In regards to voyeurism and sexuality in general and types of unusual sex fantasies.
Why, yes. Yes, we have some here.
We do. Monica, you had something you wanted to share, did you not?
I might even share this on my podcast in the next bit, but you guys will have a sneak preview.
Okay, hang on a sec. My headphones aren't working quite right.
And they won't be it from now on. So, let's see. This one was on a site called rawconfessions.com, which is mostly BS, but then there are a few that seem to be an actual fantasy. And this one was titled Fucked Up Fantasy, so you know you're going to have something entertaining right off the bat. About a year ago, I had this really, really fucked up fantasy. I was fine about having sexual thoughts, so I wasn't like I was an ignorant child who thought sex was something to be ashamed of. This was just really screwed up. Alright, so the fantasy started with me being kidnapped by some crazy evil scientist. I was then experimented on, made infertile, and forced to have a bath in this weird pheromone mixture for days. Humans couldn't smell it, but it was very strong to other species. Anyway, I was then stuck in this huge glass dome, naked with animals of every breed. There were huge eagles, lions, sea life, literally everything imaginable. However, most were bigger than they would be in reality. Now, I won't read the rest because there's just tons of it, but suffice it to say, so the eagles have sex with her, but then they leave in the morning, which I thought was kind of funny that even eagles have some sort of attachment issue.
I don't know if this the eagles have an attachment issue as much as maybe she's just someone you want to run from.
That's it. Even, yeah.
I don't know. Like, is that the whole issue?
Even the eagles are comparing, like, they're going to a friend's, like, I'm, no, yeah. no. And yeah, now that like, I'm sober, I'm not into it.
Yeah, like,
the pheromones took over, but.
You were really good looking about 6 beer ago. But now that I'm an eagle, I'm going to fly away and eat like an owl or something.
Damn eagle alcoholics. You don't hear enough about those.
No, not at all.
Alcoholism in the eagle community.
Just hear about the beer alcoholics.
Hey, don't go shitting on my eagle friends.
I care deeply about them. Yes, so that was pretty much, then there's the wolves, and the wolves seem to be very good at giving oral sex, apparently, in this woman's fantasy.
Really?
I wouldn't think so. Hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't guess.
Yeah, but I think wolves would be, like, nippy. And
yeah,
like,
sharp.
Yeah, sharp.
Not
and
something
like,
I want near that delicate area.
Yeah. You want, like, luxurious sort of a Cadillac kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to my, what big teeth you have.
That's right. Yeah.
Big teeth, I think in that situation, is bad teeth.
Maybe it was
big
dressed
teeth
as
equals
grandma.
Bad teeth. In dressed as grandma, which way then we get into cross dressing, perhaps.
And the gums, you know, the gum thing we were talking about. So the gums are soft. They're not, you know.
If, yeah, as long as we get rid of the teeth.
Yeah. So, yeah,
so we're talking like a wolf with dentures now?
Potentially. She didn't mention that, but we can safely go with that fantasy. And I think there was also a lion. A lion apparently wasn't very considerate. He wasn't a considerate lover.
Inconsiderate.
Very inconsiderate lover. So that was one of the ones I found.
That sounds really fascinating. I'm actually got a copy of the Encyclopedia of Unusual Sex Practices by Brenda Love. And one of my favorites in here is the man who could only come in by ejaculating by rubbing himself into plants.
What a horrible date that would be.
And
I'm not really a botany kind of guy myself. Like, I have to apologize.
It.
Not really all that about plants. I had a cactus once. And I did try to fuck it, and it really hurt. I don't know.
What about bonsais? Are they too old for you, or do you think that could get you off?
Bonsai? It's kind of like a World War II thing, no?
That's probably true. So it doesn't work. Okay. Well, we're learning.
Wait, am I allowed to, like, say, this is a radio, college
I've sworn.
Radio. I can swear, right?
Yes, you can swear. It's after 10 p.m.
I thought I got somebody fired there for saying.
Everything I say has profanity in it. It's the only
That's
time I could
true,
get on
yeah.
is this time. So yes, this guy could only get off on plants. Are there more details?
He could only get off on plants and ended up, one of the things I think would be really interesting is if he accidentally rubbed himself into poison ivy.
Oh gosh, I have not rubbed myself into poison ivy, but I've been in poison ivy many times, and that sounds like a terrible, terrible thing.
I agree. I think if you're going to have sex outside, A, make sure you check the area for poison ivy. To make sure if it's maybe at this time of year, perhaps
you know what?
Just
always wear protection.
Definitely always wear protection.
It's nice to have someone doing the PSA here. When you're fucking plants, always use protection. The more right. you know.
So I guess what constitutes protection when it comes to plants?
With a plant, I think olive oil. Like you always put the oil on the plant, right? Like olive oil or something.
Sure, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Just rub it down.
Rub
it needs
down.
Foreplay. Yeah. And then, do you have to wear like a green condom if you fuck a plant so they feel comfortable? Or
you probably want to have a biodegradable one that's good for the environment.
Oh, okay.
Something
that's something environmental. So a biodegradable condom. Do they have that?
I guess we can find out. We'll have to go and pay a visit to Woman's Wear and find out.
All right, we'll ask about the bio. It sounds like it wouldn't be as safe if it was biodegradable, but maybe it wouldn't be biodegrade on the spot.
And then perhaps after that, then you could use that with all the mixed fluid and use it to to plant vegetables.
Does that help vegetables grow? I'm not a botany person. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
That
guess if anybody
like
is
it would
listening.
Be very, very
I
helpful.
I think I got lost on that whole thing.
I think I got turned on during that whole thing. Wow, grow plants for my ejaculate. I love it.
I got nothing. I would really like to have a witticism there, but yeah. I'll get back to you in about 15 minutes.
So in terms of certain fantasies, who is sleeping in our heads? Where do fantasies come from? Where do we think of certain things?
Well, there's lots of theories, right? I mean, there's theories, and I think that book... I recommended this book because I read an excerpt from it and thought it was brilliant. It's called Who's Been Sleeping in Your Head? But I didn't read it. You did and tried, and you weren't all that keen about it. No offense to the book. But one of the theories they had was that, especially with regards to kinky things, that sometimes it's a way of resolving something that was uncomfortable in your childhood. And I thought that was brilliant.
Mm-hmm. There is actually a study that BC Women's Hospital actually did in regards to with BDSM. That sometimes it is in resolve of childhood trauma.
And it makes sense. Like, you know, when you think about, I was looking at, strangely enough, this was on Flickr, I think. But there were people that had a lot of, like, nurse pictures, and they talked about having a nurse fetish. Strangely enough, Flickr used to be a home for a lot of fetish sections, fetish groups, which was a strange new thing when someone explained that to me. But and one of the things this one group had was these people that were very much into nurse and nurse fantasies, mm-hmm. and hospital rooms. And this fantasy stemmed from a lot of these people with being a child and being in a hospital as a youth and, like, being kind of trapped there for a while or having a very traumatic experience where you were young and trapped in a hospital. Is that something that happened to you?
No, sorry. I mean, I very much was a kid who... I grew up in the hospital. Yeah, oh. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah. But all that freaky shit, yeah, I don't know.
But that doesn't work for you. Like, I'm sure it might not, but is there, if you have, like, do you have a nurse fetish or any?
No, I don't think so. Really? No. I think I have the very beautiful girls in front of me fetish.
Which is lovely. Yeah. How very normal of you, Dean.
Yeah, I know. I'm
He's
sorry.
Disgusting. Yeah. He's sick. What's wrong with him?
I was so, like, completely average and vanilla where I like girls. That's awful of me.
I remember this one thing. I'm sure I've told you this before, but I read a lot of crime stuff, and I did when I was younger. It obviously classifies me as very normal. But I would read a lot of crime books and trial stuff. And then there was this one trial of some guy who he had... tons of people's panties. He would steal lots of women's panties, and he would put them in Ziploc bags, and when the cops found him, it was just like... So they had this as exhibits during
the trial. It's like
the
Craigslist killer.
What's that?
It's like the Craigslist killer. Like, but keep going.
Right, right. So anyway, and then one of the people in the jury, and I thought this was hilarious, it stuck with me for these many years, the guy said... why can't these guys just have sex? And it was like, well, that's a good point.
Just get laid.
Right. Yeah, that seems like that was fine with that guy, right? What's this dude picking up tons of panties for? And it just seems like it's such a good basic question, but there's obviously more there.
Weird.
The Craigslist killer you're mentioning.
Yes. Sorry. No, he was caught with several pairs of panties under his mattress that he shared with his fiancé.
I think we may have got a little tangential. What was the original topic? I'm not sure.
Voyeurism, fantasies,
wow. And where do fantasies come from?
Yeah, I'm still trying to find my right button there. Sorry. For everyone else out there in the world, we can't...
The button. It's a good
mechanism,
of course.
I am very much so. Yeah.
He is looking for the right button, and he cannot quite find it. And apparently it's not eagles or hospital beds, so...
That's probably a good thing.
Sorry, what?
A very good thing. So.
What else do you like in your book?
In regards to that, there are lots of things. So, for example, there are... Let's see, what do we got? I'm just going to open it up at any page.
Oh, random stuff, okay.
Random stuff.
I will randomly look at something, too, and see what happens.
Lactophilia. Masturbation, playing with one's own breasts. Masturfact, breast fetish. And it's an orgasm while nursing.
Delicious.
And at one point, milk from a nursing mother was thought to have healing powers, and the milk from both a mother and daughter was used as a prophylactic against eye diseases.
Oh, gross! Now you've managed to disgust me. I like them. I love them. I just stumbled. So there's another site that I like occasionally, which is called Is It Normal? And it's a lot of people asking questions about whether what they're thinking is
what
normal.
Your proclivities.
Proclivity.
Some of
them are. So there's a sexuality section. There's lots of ones that are just, you know, is this normal? I have this fear of fire hydrants and lubricants or whatever. But this one is it normal that I want to have sex with a depressed person? Which doesn't sound normal right off the bat. And then it says, whenever I think of someone who is depressed, sometimes I want to have sex with them so they can feel good. Which I think actually is very narcissistic. Can you really make them feel good?
Right.
And then, yeah, and then depressed.
Well, you sure try.
Yeah, I guess it's worth a shot for them.
Yeah. The worst thing that's going to happen is...
They're still depressed.
Yeah, exactly.
And now they've had bad sex, which maybe will make them more depressed.
That actually does make you more depressed. It does make you feel empty and depleted.
It's true.
Very much so. And here we go. I have found what it is called about the sex with trees. It's called dendrophilia, which refers to those aroused by trees. And trees were ancient symbols of fertility, and men on certain holy days would go into the fields and ejaculate on the trees. And Thomas Greger, who was an anthropologist who spent a lot of time with some of the tribes in South America during the 1960s, told of one folk tale involving a man and a tree. I've only been able to find two other stories of masturbation, and both men are the principal actors. In one, we learn of a man who discovered a remarkably gratifying tree, a hole in a tree, which he began to use to the exclusion, he became addicted, to the exclusion of his wife and girlfriends. In the second story, a man made an artificial vagina of leaves to which he became similarly attached. In both myths, the culprits were seen by their villagers, who hacked away at the hole with an axe and tore the leaf vagina to shreds. In both stories, the masturbators behaved as if their leafy companions had been real women. They wailed for the deceased plants, cut their hair short, and took off their belts as a symbol of mourning.
Huh. Wow. That sounds like that letter that's
it
circulating.
Sounds like a lot of stuff.
That letter circulating.
The brony guy. He's
do share.
These people that are into My Little Pony. I don't know why. Grown men that are into this. And
excuse me. Sorry. Grown men into My Little Pony.
Yes, they are. So they're interested, I guess, in the characters. And I don't quite understand this. But apparently this artist had created depictions of this one My Little Pony, you know, in a sexual way. And this guy wrote to and said, "That's my girlfriend that you're making these degrading drawings of. And she is a kind and sweet mare. And she doesn't deserve to be degraded and humiliated. And she is mine and not yours." And the letter was much more lengthy than that, but that was the effect of the gist of it. Yeah, it was so you know, I like that this person with his leafy proclivities thinks.
Proclivities, yes. Once again. Yes.
Proclivities.
Here's proclivities, word of the day, yeah? No? Everybody?
Proclivities?
Proclivities? I like that.
That's the word of the day?
The word of the day?
The word of the day is proclivities. Okay.
I think so.
Very educational.
I've got another one for you. How about misophilia? Misophilia refers to becoming aroused by smelling, chewing, or rubbing against a foul-smelling soil jockstrap.
That sounds like last weekend. I mean, come on, that's weird.
Pair of panties, menstrual pad, bra, or other object. And the most common secretions used are for genital discharges, menstrual blood, feces, and milk. Locker rooms provide abundant odors for the misophile, who often pilfers through used jock straps. And necrophiles prefer decaying flesh as opposed to fresh corpse.
Well, but the jockstrap does make perfect sense.
Which also falls into this category as well. Yeah, I guess because of the pheromones and things.
And all the
smell.
Stuff. Like, it really is a combination. Because that's it. Like, if you were into that, like, that's a treasure trove of, like, foul and gross scents.
Right, it's like a... Yeah.
Wow, well, that must be like, that's now. Like, you win the jackpot of disgusting scents all in one. Oh, that's lovely. Okay, well,
it's like it's hidden in the hood and also hidden in the... never mind.
Other area. Yeah.
Actually, here we go, Mon. Here's something that might trigger for your sex crimes in history here.
Okay.
One case involved a man who'd been almost blind since birth, and he compensated for his loss of scent with enhanced smell and touch, and he confessed to wanting to mutilate, wallow in, and eat a person, and he was only able to find animals. Attempts to convince his grandmother to leave him her body were unsuccessful.
What a great conversation. That's not awkward.
And his
mom. I've got a thing. I would love to mutilate and kill someone. I'm not going to do that.
But would can you mind? Please leave me your body?
So
don't you love me enough? I just want to eat you.
You're a crappy grandma.
And so
I hate
coming
you.
Up next
I wish
is,
I was never born.
Wow,
and really apparently, nasty. According to this, is this person's most common behavioral consist of searching for garbage and eating feces. And apparently
disgusting.
It is possible for that misophiles have increased sensitivity to pheromones, which, as we were mentioning earlier, that are produced through the body increments.
Mm. this person sounds hot.
It sounds so sexy.
And so what?
They also added in here that for some of the people who suffer or I don't know, I guess it's your point of view whether it's suffering or not. Right. I do think if you want to mutilate and wallow in somebody and eat them, it's yeah.
I would say there might be a conflict there given that they might not be able to satisfy what they need.
Exactly. Hmm.
Potentially.
But with this, they also recommend for people who are into the foul-smelling piece that fake excretions are safe when made from things like peanut butter, mayonnaise, or ketchup and are smeared on the underwear or the body.
Really? Does that satisfy you at all?
And so once again, coming up after this show...
Oh, is there a recipe show coming on? Because that would be wonderful.
The cookbook is there, yeah.
That's good. That's useful. All right, this is a little bit more, in comparison, more innocent, but very weird. So that's here's weird. An is it normal question. Is it normal to kiss nobody during sex? Okay. I was having sex with a guy. I was on top. And, all right, so now this has disappeared. But what's basically happened is she was on top, and she looked down, and she saw her boyfriend or lover French kissing nobody. So just French kissing the air. And she got really, yes, exactly. And she said, I was totally turned off by this. I found it to be disgusting and creepy. Is it normal for someone to do this? That would crack me up so bad, I'd have to
jump
off.
I'd love to have a field day with what Dan Savage would say with that. But yes. I'd say, yeah, that is kind of creepy.
That's kind of weird.
That would be very, like, why? Like, does he do that when he's masturbating and now he's having sex and it's the same thing? He's just like, all right, this is what gets me off.
Maybe he's just, you know, maybe it's that byproduct of modern day where we are so hooked into porn, where he's so disconnected from the person that, like, jacking it and, you know, being away from a human is
it's freaking
the
out.
Accepted sort of thing.
You know? Oh, I see. And so that, yeah, he's, like, not connected because
he's not connected to the person.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. That's hilarious.
He's too busy spending himself with himself.
Yeah. Why am I not on the internet? He's tweeting. Really having a good time inside this woman.
It's just found 10W30. It works for my car and my...
Yeah. A tip.
Multi-purpose.
Multi-purpose.
Thanks, ma'am. That was very useful. I will continue reading this blog.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I think it's better, though, than... somebody who perhaps is almost the pretty woman syndrome, where they don't want to kiss because they've had trauma and it means intimacy, but yet they really are craving for it, so they can only go to the air as opposed to with somebody.
No, wait, sorry, what is that they do? Sorry. Oh, that, yeah.
That's the sound that we'll replay towards the end of the show. Yeah. And a cough. We added a cough. Just for fun.
It's the Benson and Hedges cough. This cough brought to you by Benson and Hedges.
Okay.
For that.
Here is a unusual one. Well, not that unusual, actually. Harmophilia, which is to actually guess, well, refers to one who is aroused by mistakes or rules being broken.
Oh, wow.
And this refers to those who are frightened of making a mistake. A great majority of men are aroused by their partner having less sexual knowledge or competence than themselves. This bolsters their self-esteem and makes them more secure in the relationship. Of course, this preference for sexuality, inept females can cause women to either pretend incompetence or it will prevent them from wanting to experiment, from wanting to know more about sex.
Oh, yeah. If somebody is telling you you're doing it wrong all the time, you wouldn't feel very good about that.
No. Or, I don't know what to do. Can you teach me?
I'm so very innocent.
Yes, I'd be happy to.
I think you would.
Everybody's got a job, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I finally figured out that if I plug my headphone into the
jack, that helps.
Isn't that weird, right?
It's amazing just how much that helps, isn't it, Mike?
Do virgins walk differently than non-virgins? That's a question asked in this forum. Wow, you gotta really wonder.
I don't know, actually.
Because, you think
that's a guy thing. I think guys, like, actually, once we've been laid, Absolutely. We walk completely different from all of the
dudes. You kind of feel like cocky.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
literally.
Your dick is
yeah.
like...
And red. Figuratively.
Yes. Yeah, but girls, I don't know.
I can't imagine that you would really walk differently unless you were going to walk a little bit more sexy because you felt more like, oh, yeah, I've just... Because my friend has this...
clearly
you... She says, like, if you're sleeping with someone, then you tend to, like, have this glow, right? It's like you're much more desirable to other people because you've got that freshly fucked look. So maybe there is a way that you act that's a little bit different because you're kind of excited by this.
I would totally go with that, actually. To be honest, like, I don't know. I agree. I think it's if you've got that freshly fucked look, you've got that sort of sexy going on.
Oh, I think the pheromones are just fuming right off you, where it's just, which is why I think sometimes when someone's in a relationship and you're getting fucked regularly, it feels really, really good,
and people are attracted to it. Whoever's listening, I'm stuck here with, like, two girls, like, just bleeding pheromones. I'm having the time of my life.
That's the kind of people we are. Now, bleeding pheromones, I'm not sure was the best way to put it, but yes. But the pheromones, they're seeping from our pores.
Seeping from your pores. All right.
I'm just tormenting you. I think that's great.
Sorry, I should have been more articulate. My apologies.
Agoraphilia, people who get off on having sex in public places, who desire having sex in the backyard, park, or exposed area, likely to experience an unusual level of excitement from being outdoors. And they like it just as much as agoraphobics fear being outside. That's how much the agoraphilia like it.
Not funny. Hmm. That's the thing I absolutely hate when I watch porn is outdoor scenes. I don't know. Yeah, I can't stand it. It turns me off completely. Anything outdoors, even if it's like a beach chair, and it's not because I'm shy. I just, for some reason, I'm like, why? Like, I don't know. I find maybe dungeons and rooms a lot more sexy. There's something about it. I don't know, something about the outdoor that doesn't work for
way
me.
In.
Oh, I'm sure you're fine with it.
I think in terms of the outdoor, whether it be in real life or not, there is, I think it's almost the same sort of sexiness that is when you're underage and you're going to a nightclub and you want to see if you can get away with
it. Right, of course.
So I think that's the excitement piece where it's like, am I going to get caught or not? So that's the part. And it's not necessarily wanting to be caught, but it's the possibility that it could happen, which heightens everything.
You know what? All I know is, like, so long as I'm with you two very beautiful women, I'm, like, totally happy.
You're all right.
Yeah, I'm totally happy. In a dungeon, on a beach, whatever.
In the back of a cab, any of it, it'll work.
It's all good, yeah.
So for those of you out there listening, everybody, thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm going to encourage our listeners out there, if you want to win a couple sexy prizes, we do have some lube. We do have some sex toys available as well that have been generously donated to the show. And if you're interested in winning, if you wanted to email us you can come go check out the website at sexyfitness.wordpress.com, or if you feel brave enough and want to share them on our Facebook fan page at Sexy and Van City Radio and care to share, perhaps you could win some toys to enhance and have a little bit more fun in your room or outdoors, depending where you choose to use them. All I want to say, though, before we wrap the end of the hour, is if you choose to use them outside or have sex outside, just make sure that you don't blame us on the show. We're not going to be held liable for getting caught and having sex in a public place.
Make sure you use a UV condom. You want to get a sunburn on your... Well, anyways.
On that note, can I do a quick plug for my podcast?
Yes, please.
My show is Dazed and Convicted. It's at dazedandconvicted.com. You can also find me all over, all over the web, Monica Homburg, that's H-A-M-B-U-R-G. And you can also find me on Twitter, at Monica Homburg, at Dazed Convicted, and on Facebook. And yeah, so dazedandconvicted.com. It's a fun podcast about horrible crimes.
And I think that's very, very sexy. Horrible climbs, because you make it sexy.
Thank you. I try.
And especially the spin that you put on them. So thanks. It is very entertaining and witty and very funny. So up next is the sexy Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock.